This is the Breaker.News podcast for January 14th, 2018. Welcome, I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I will tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, regular features such as the Is It Just Me commentary, Around the Rim, headlines from around the Pacific Rim, Cascadia Calling, headlines from around the Pacific Northwest, The Big Deal feature, this week, Vancouver's lame duck mayor, Gregor Robertson, in his own words, and The Breaker will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to someone who made a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or are you also glad that Gregor Robertson will be the ex-mayor of Vancouver this fall? The leader of Vision Vancouver did more to bring division to Vancouver since taking power in 2008. Vancouver's Bike Lane mayor claimed in his January 10th announcement that he made the city more livable, green, prosperous, and innovative. But the one word that really applies to Robertson's legacy is higher, as in higher homelessness. It says right there on page 3 of Vision's 2008 platform that Robertson would, quote, end street homelessness by 2015, end quote. Well, there were almost 1,600 people counted as homeless in Vancouver in 2008. Last year, 2017, there were more than 2,100. Higher taxes. Robertson promised affordability in that 2008 platform. Well, on December 12th last year, the Vision Vancouver majority voted a tax on top of a tax. They told citizens it would be a 3.9% increase for 2018's property tax bill. Then Robertson's lieutenant, Raymond Louis, successfully proposed another 0.34% to make it a total 4.2% hike, without a chance for the public to say yay or nay. Higher towers. They don't call the mayor high-rise Robertson for nothing. The West End penthouse dweller and his Vision Vancouver Party's pockets were filled with donations from real estate developers, particularly Westbank's Ian Gillespie, the tycoon behind Telus Garden and Vancouver House, which were marketed to speculators on the other side of the Pacific. Higher secrecy. At his 2008 swearing-in, Robertson was clear, quote, I will not let you down on making City Hall more open and accountable, end quote. Well, we found out in 2015 that his first chief of staff, Mike McGee, was purging his email. And late last year, The Breaker found out that Robertson uses Gmail for City Hall business. In a 2016 audit, Information Commissioner Elizabeth Denham found that Vision had caused, quote, inappropriate delays, failure to meet legislated timelines, missing documentation, incomplete responses, and adversarial communication with applicants, end quote. And higher, literally. By summer 2015, under Robertson's watch, there were 60 marijuana stores operating illegally in the city. They outnumbered Tim Hortons coffee shops. Robertson, who was the police board chair, used his clout to foster the budding industry. His party also began to award some of those stores with business licenses, rather than protect citizens from the risk of organized criminals selling tainted products under the guise of medicine. They did not wait until the federal government got its house in order. There will be more about Gregor Robertson and his empty legacy later in this week's podcast in The Big Deal. Now it's time for Around the Rim on the Breaker.News podcast, where we look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. First stop in the Honolulu Star-Advertiser, Hawaii's tourism industry fears repercussions after erroneous missile warning by Allison Schaffers. Mufi Hanneman, Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association President and CEO, said he is canvassing the organization's 700 members to determine the short-term and longer-term ramifications of the January 13th false alarm. "The only good thing about it was that it wasn't real. If that had happened, we really would have been in deep kimchi," Hanneman said. Hawaii has always prided itself on being one of the safest, most secure places to visit. The question we have to ask is, does this erode the confidence that people have in coming to Hawaii? Hanneman said the incident was embarrassing, and the state will have to work together to assure residents and visitors alike that the incident won't be repeated and that lessons were learned. Hanneman said problems have been identified beyond the false alert. In the Japan Times, "Going it alone, solo dwellers will account for 40% of Japan's households by 2040, forecast says. The National Institute of Population and Social Security Research projected that households headed by people 65 or older will account for 44.2%, up from 36% in 2015. The share of single-person households, already the largest at 34.5% as of 2015, is expected to grow further to 39.3% by 2040. Meanwhile, households with married couples and children, which used to account for over 40% of the total, are projected to slip to 23.3% from 26.9%. As the projections cast a light on the graying population, Japan needs to develop an improved Social Security structure to support seniors living on their own, Social Security experts said. And Channel News Asia's Vanessa Page Chelvin reports, three more charged over Shell oil heist. About 4,400 metric tons of gas oil valued at $2.4 million were stolen from the Pulau Bukom refinery, Shell's biggest in the world. Nine Singaporean and two Vietnamese men were charged over their involvement in three incidents of fuel theft in November last year and on January 5th and 7th of this year. Two more from Singapore and another from Vietnam were charged January 13th. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time for Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. In Nanaimo News Now, Dominic Abassi reports, blackout, city manager cuts off live feed of Nanaimo council meeting. A substantial loss of decorum was what was behind the city manager's decision to pull the plug on the live feed of a recent Nanaimo council meeting. During the January 8th Committee of the Whole meeting, City Manager Tracy Samara ordered the online live stream of the meeting to be cut off. The archive version of the meeting showed the screen fade to black for a little less than 3 minutes before video and then audio returned. Samara said that neither the community charter nor the procedure bylaw obligate the city to record meetings. But Dermot Travis of Integrity BC said the public deserves better. Travis said that, for better or for worse, the public and voters should see exactly how their council is operating. If the city is concerned about expletives or other messages getting out, they could delay it by several seconds. Kira Wanalisa in the Skagit Valley Herald reports, lost in Skagit County? These are the drones you're looking for. A new Skagit County Sheriff's Office unit took to the skies this month with three unmanned aerial drones. The drones will be used mostly for search and rescue operations, said Sergeant Tobin Meyer, who is the first Skagit County deputy licensed by the Federal Aviation Administration to operate the drones. The Sheriff's Office spent $15,000 on the trio. And in the Oregonian, Eder Campuzano reports, Turkey, the sea turtle rescued over Thanksgiving, dies at Oregon Coast Aquarium. The malnourished and hypothermic sea turtle arrived in Newport shortly after midnight November 24th with a temperature of 59 degrees Fahrenheit, which is below the 75 degree normal. aquarium personnel estimated that she hadn't eaten in a month, maybe more. Aquarium personnel would offer turkey food 3 times a day, but she would often eat little more than a bite of shrimp. In early January, she stopped eating completely. An X-ray showed a mass had developed, likely caused by a bacterial infection. Turkey died on January the 8th. That's Cascadia calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time for the big deal on the Breaker.News podcast. This week, Mayor Gregor Robertson in his own words. City Hall watchers were only surprised by Gregor Robertson's timing. Despite his half-hearted pledges to run for a fourth term as mayor of Vancouver, all signs pointed to the Vision Vancouver leader preparing for an exit. He finally revealed his plan on January 10th. He will not run for re-election this October. Vision, like the BC Liberals, is widely considered to be too cozy with the real estate industry. The party's depth is gone after Councillor Jeff Meigs quit to become John Horgan's chief of staff. And several Vision insiders followed Meigs to cushy provincial paychecks. In this February 24, 2008 speech, while his American mentor and bagman Joel Solomon looked on, Robertson announced that he would try to make the leap from being an NDP MLA to mayor of Vancouver. And ending homelessness would be his job one.
Okay, seriously now. I reached a turning point a few weeks ago. A homeless man named Daryl McCasco burned to death, trying to keep from freezing to death on an icy cold night on the streets of Vancouver. Daryl died only 3 blocks away from the Lookout emergency shelter. And Daryl died only 9 blocks away from City Hall. In a city with enormous resources, with compassionate citizens, we're letting it take place here. And it is time for profound change in dealing with homelessness.
Fighting inequality and crime were part of Robertson's closing statement at the Vision Vancouver leadership debate on June 5th, 2008. It helped him win the leadership.
I love Vancouver with all of my heart, and I'm very worried about our city right now. I think this is an emotion that many of us feel right now, because we live in a time with such enormous extremes. We live in a beautiful place with so much affluence that so many people envy for what it looks like on the outside, but we also live with incredible suffering and deplorable conditions for many of our neighbors. Almost a quarter of our city living in poverty, almost 30% of our children living in poverty, thousands of people living on our streets, and a culture of fear driven by drug and gang crime that is intolerable. And we need to deal with these challenges. They're not beyond us. We collectively have the ability and the talent and, I believe, the intention to address these challenges.
Robertson also emphasized his Housing for All promise at the October 22, 2008 election debate.
My goal is to end street homelessness by 2015 in Vancouver. We will use city bylaws to keep affordable rental buildings safe and open. The NPA has, in effect, protected slumlords by failing to enforce even the most minimum standards of cleanliness and safety. I will build strong relationships with all levels of government and ensure they live up to the responsibilities for investment. Together, we're going to bring this city the change that it needs. Thank you very much.
After being the Olympic mayor, the honeymoon wore off for Robertson. Members of his own party were critical of spot rezonings that disrupted neighborhoods from the West End to Marpole. After a city council meeting on July 8, 2010, Robertson's microphone was on when he called some of them fucking NPA hacks.
Who are all these fucking, who are these hacks, man? Are they the NPA hacks? Yeah.
Oh, no.
What's that?
Candidate.
Who was?
No, the last people. But they're all, you know,
not a renter, and that's what they're upset about.
They don't want renters in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we have
to. 9 o'clock.
You can't railroad us.
You're trying to subvert process here.
We want consultation.
Hey,
what?
God, we're just trying to have a little advisory committee for fuck's sake.
Robertson's marriage fell apart before the 2014 election. Afterward, the city found out that he was dating Chinese singer Wanting Chu. Her mother was later charged with municipal corruption in China. Robertson traveled with Chu to a concert in New York City and used the occasion to practice Mandarin. A flood of post-Olympic Chinese investment in Vancouver real estate dashed home ownership dreams for a generation of Vancouverites, making housing and affordability the number one issue. Robertson came into the mayoralty promising housing for all. Instead, he will leave office having only achieved luxury housing in Vancouver for some of the world's richest people. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to someone who made a difference. This week, a virtual version of British Columbia's favorite dessert snack goes to Andy Yan, the director of the Simon Fraser University City Program. Urban planner Yan has done more than anyone else to crunch the numbers when it comes to the foreign influence in Vancouver's real estate market. Yan analyzed almost 200 property sales on Vancouver's West Side in 2015. Two-thirds of the names on the deeds were non-anglicized Chinese names, and more than a third of them listed their professions as either housewife or student. Mayor Gregor Robertson and his apologists wrongly suggested that Yan was racist. Yan's latest project. He found nearly three-quarters of single-family homes in Metro Vancouver are worth $1 million or more. In 2014, it was under 25%. Yan's research and analysis has educated Vancouverites and allowed Vancouverites to ask serious questions to policymakers. It's one of the reasons why Green Party leader Andrew Weaver has suggested that BC follow New Zealand's lead and ban real estate sales to foreigners. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for January 14th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin, host of the Breaker.News podcast. Thank you for joining me. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas. Email bob@thebreaker.news. That's bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. And you can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week, I'm Bob Mackin.